We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
State Farm Insurance knows that understanding and investing in our cultural identity is paramount in protecting our future. We know what it's like to go from nothing to something, to wish that we had better financial literacy when we were younger. Luckily, State Farm is here to help with funding programs like Project Ready, which is committed to education achievement and has already awarded over $11 million in scholarship offers to Black and Brown youth since 2021. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
What's good, everybody? It's our favorite time of the year here at The Black Effect. We're headed down to Atlanta for the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival, and we're not going alone. Nissan is back as our partner, and they're continuing their Pitch Your Podcast Lounge at the festival, where you'll have the opportunity to pitch your podcast idea live and share it with the Black Effect team. So get those podcast ideas ready. And remember, you can count on Nissan to dial up the thrill in your adventures, no matter where life takes you. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Good morning, USA!
Yo. Good morning, Charlemagne.
Peace to the planet. It's Monday! Martin Luther King Day. Now listen. We have a scheduled set of vacation days.
Mm-hmm.
Martin Luther King Jr. Day happened to be one of them.
Yes.
So we're not here. And I know you're like, oh, y'all just took 4 weeks off. You know why we took 4 weeks off?
Why?
Because we have vacation days.
That's correct.
And we use them.
Correct.
And since today is a corporate holiday and a holiday all across the country, we're not here either.
No. Right now, I probably just finished doing a party with me and Martin Luther King on a flyer together.
That's so disrespectful. You're too old for that at this point. You know what I'm saying? And listen, I'm going to tell you something else. Mind your business. And what I mean by that is, I know you upset that we've been gone for 4 weeks and we taking another vacation day off, but mind your business, okay? Do we come to your job and complain to you about you taking your vacation days?
That's true.
All right.
All right. Well, Humble the Poet will be joining us this morning.
That's right. Humble got a new book out called How to Be Love, okay? Or How to Be Loved, because the D is in parentheses.
You like the D in parentheses?
No, I don't like the D in parentheses. I like my D to be prominent, okay? But How to Be Loved.
Goodness gracious.
Loved. By Humble the Poet, and he'll be here to talk about love this morning.
All right, we'll get into that and more, so don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Say it. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on the Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
What? You sound like you need a nose job. I can't hear you clearly.
Shut up, man.
I want you to be able to speak clearer.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
That was a quick nose job. What up, man? Get it off your chest, bro.
Oh, how you doing? I'm Rebel Jesus from Detroit. You mind doing some poetry?
Your name is Rebel Jesus, and you want to do poetry?
Yes.
Go ahead. Go.
Oh, Lord have mercy.
I call it adopted, but here we go. February 28th, birth of a legend manifested, prophesied many years ago. I would even speak biblical, but what if it's true? Would you believe that our church is saved? You are not you blind followers.
Oh,
you believe
God.
That God said, I am is in front of you.
Yo,
hypocrite.
Bro.
I can't.
Moses and them was, yes.
You sound like Silly Bone. Listen to me, man. That wasn't poetry. That was rap, sir.
they're virtually the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, rap is poetry. But
I mean, it is poetry, but the way poets deliver it is a little bit different than you did just now.
Yeah. Okay. I wasn't a fan.
Mind if I do a different one?
No. We would appreciate if you say thank you for the opportunity.
That's right.
And you go figure out something else to do with your life.
But you have a blessed day, brother. Rebel Jesus.
Have a blessed day, Silly Bone.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, I want to say one thing.
What?
You want to say
why
one thing?
Why you didn't give the girl who hit the guy with the bowling ball donkey of the day?
That's a good question. I haven't seen the video. I heard about it, though.
Yo, that was some bull****. But you gave Dana Howard, what's the white guy name?
Dana White. Howard sang a song called Freak Like Me back in the day. Love with Dana Howard.
Yeah, I know. I love that song, too. But why you didn't give that bitch donkey of the day?
I don't even know her name. I'm going to look it up. I think she might be deserving of a donkey today. I think you're right, sir.
She got to get two donkeys of the day.
Okay, why are you drinking at this time of morning, bro? You just leaving the club?
Hey, why you ain't drinking?
That's when you know somebody drunk. Why you ain't drinking?
Hello, who's this?
It's Nick the Trucker.
Nick, you in your truck now, bro?
Oh, God. Don't tell this man to blow
nothing. Yes, sir. All right, I got you right here.
What in the hell was that type of horn?
You just ready to blow.
Yeah, that was my big horn.
That was not no big horn.
My new horn.
My big horn. What's up, Nick? Hey, get it off your chest, man. Brother.
Man, I just want to let everybody know, man, it's a new year. Stop working so much, man. It's more important to spend time with your family and friends. Cut it out. All that extra stuff y'all working for is really not worth it.
Well, how
it's
we gonna,
better
how
to
we,
spend time with your family.
I agree with you, but how are we going to make money?
I'm not saying stop working. Let me rephrase. I'm not saying stop working.
You just said stop working. Work.
Let me rephrase myself, Charlamagne. Work to pay your bills. After that, all that overtime, all that extra stuff to buy some Gucci or whatever it is you spend your money on, it's not worth it.
Oh, yeah, ain't nobody, you know what? I agree with that, because you got some idiots out here who buy designer shirts and then act like they purchased some damn property, okay? So yeah, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree, too, Nick. Spend the time with your family. Find the time to spend time with your family. If you find time for everything else, make sure you raise them babies and make sure you spend time with your significant other, man.
Yeah, if you're working overtime for Gucci, something wrong.
Absolutely.
Let me shout out my wife real quick. Bye, our anniversary is next month. Let me shout out Daniela. She's in school. She just started school yesterday to be a teacher. I want to wish you all the praise and happiness, babe. Our anniversary is next year next month on Valentine's Day.
Hey.
It's gonna be our 10th year together. I'm 29. She's 29. We've been together for 10 years, and I'm trying to see 50 more.
Hey, that's a lot of pressure, man. Having an anniversary on Valentine's Day. Lord have mercy.
Now I look at it as killing two birds with one stone.
Well, I know one thing. You better get back to work so you have some money for Valentine's Day and the anniversary. You're going to need that extra cash.
Goodbye, Nick.
See, that's what it is. It don't take that money, though.
Okay.
She's going to be happy just if we at the park.
You play if you want. There's going to be somebody else taking it to the park. Well, blow the horn one more time for me, Nick.
Hey, who is that? That ain't DJ Envy.
You can't even tell his voice no more because he got a nose job.
I don't know who that is. Who is that?
Goodbye, man. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your time to get it off your chest, whether you're mad or blessed.
So you better have the same energy.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Yo, what's up, man? What's your name, man?
What?
Man. Yo, Charlamagne, when you were talking about your own PPP loans, I tried to get through. I did a little 16 bars and wanted you to hear.
Okay.
Go.
It's crazy. I got to outdoor me, pushing S5s and Bentley trucks. On some PPP loans, I was pushing some regular joint. I got a loan from the bank. I started to get a PPP loan. Threatening many banks. I'm already in debt. Imagine receiving a letter from the federal girl telling you owe 50 stacks. I probably would have jumped over a roof. But the money's selling. Y'all want to see the egos. Walk outside. I never saw so many Benzes, BMWs, and Range, and monster trucks parked on my block. I put the beats on roll. Then that nigga living it up. I'm sitting on some rack. I can't compete. Some girl teasing me about the car she bought off of PPP.
Okay, I think you need to get a job. Listen, I think you need to get a job. There's a lot of temp jobs available because it's the holiday season. You know what I mean? And
I'm glad you didn't go.
You said, you really like that MVP?
Nah, it was trash. Like, your show was just garbage. But I like the content that you're saying. You're saying you got a Nissan Rogue and you work for your Nissan Rogue. And them brothers on the block with the Bentleys and Roses, they're going to jail.
That's right. I think that's what you were saying. You wasn't co-signing stealing, right?
No, he wasn't.
You against PPP.
No, I'm saying I can't compete. This girl teasing me about the car support for PPP. I'm putting the Nissan Rogue. They got Benzes, Ranges, and out there and all that stuff for my block. I never seen no cars in my life.
And that's why we gotta you gotta contact the proper authorities when you see people that have participated in these PPP scams. No, you should. You should contact the proper authorities, man. You see something, say something.
No, don't do that. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. How you doing? Champ.
What's up, brother? Get it off your chest.
Oh, first thing I want to just say, I called last year last year, and I told you guys I had forgot my mother's birthday. I just want to wish her a happy birthday again. It was yesterday. I didn't get this time. I just want to wish her a happy birthday. And I want to ask y'all something about this economy, man. Like, what you think is going to go on with this economy for the next year? I'm a truck driver. I own my own truck. I'm trying to figure out, you know, if I even want to stay in this or want to get out of this.
I think it's going to get tight. I think inflation is going to raise a lot when it comes to interest rates on homes, interest rates on cars. I think grocery prices are going to go even higher. I think a lot of people are going to lose their homes. I think a lot of people are going to lose their high-end things. And I think we need to rebound and get things back to normal. I think it's crazy that we can send billions and billions of dollars to all these other countries, but we can't help our own and make sure things level out here.
Yeah,
but I think it's going to be tight. So if you got money, hold on to it.
Right. Hey,
right,
man.
Right. And NBA. Hey, hold on. About the economy, if they don't figure out this debt ceiling thing, we're going to really be in trouble.
I'm telling you. And, you know, it's another thing, too, is like these people don't understand how, the American trucking industry is like, it seems like it's going to fall. It's going to fall. And if it do fall, what are we going to do?
Yeah, now you're right.
How are we going to get goods and services? It's going to be hard getting goods and services. It already takes a long time to get goods and services now.
Yeah, nobody's going to be doing work for free out here.
But they're trying to box you guys out anyway because they're trying to create electric trucks that electric 18-wheelers that they won't actually need drivers. So, I mean, that's going to be real tough on your industry.
Let me ask you something. Do you trust a truck going down the road 80,000 pounds with no driver in it?
I don't. but if you see what they're doing on the bridges and tolls, you know, I mean, there's no more people there anymore. Now it's all electric. So all those people lost their jobs. If you look at what they're doing in the trains and the buses, a lot of those people have lost their jobs. So it's going to be real difficult out there. Robots taking over.
That's true. Hey, Envy, I got an idea for you, though. I know you're still doing the car show stuff, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, I got a crazy idea.
Well, stay on hold.
Why would you tell the world that idea, man? You ain't even trademarking nothing yet,
right,
I'm sure.
Just stay on hold. Good. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Thought you went to Georgia Southern University.
Yes.
Now, and you wanted to be in sports broadcasting.
Yeah.
And what happened?
I think I just wanted to be on TV, man. It wasn't really about doing sports broadcasting. It was just like something I knew I could go to school for to, like, you know, entertain. I didn't know. I knew my parents wanted me to go to school, so I'm like, all right, I'm going to figure out a way to stay in school and do some cool shit, you know? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that was like a go-to just to do that, though. But I ended up doing what I really wanted to do now, you know?
How did you make that pivot?
Yeah. Dropping at high school. I mean, dropping out of college.
So what year did you drop out?
I think I did 1 year at GGC, which is like a close school to where I'm from. Mm-hmm. Then I went to Georgia Southern, and I did like a half a semester.
Jesus.
And just stopped going to classes, just all in general.
Let's talk about that mindset. Like, I mean, yeah. I never went to college, period. But so what made you realize that, you know what, college isn't the move for me?
I think, bro, just going up, those classes are so big, you don't even have like a real, like connection with none of the teachers. I think when I started out at the smaller school, I was cool because I still knew people where I was from. Mm-hmm. Everybody's still cool with each other, you know. It felt like high school again. You know, mm-hmm. That's another year of high school. You get up to those big colleges, I thought it was about to be like a party, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You watch movies like ATL or Drumline and stuff, and you see like kind of like the college type of, you're like, okay.
Right.
And I thought it was going to be like that, but nah, man, I went all the way out there to that party school, and I ended up hating it, bro.
Really?
I didn't like, yeah. Nah,
what made you hate it?
It just wasn't, I went out there for other reasons. I went out there thinking this is like the lifestyle I could live. Like, yeah, this is the real college lifestyle. And I ended up just hitting me in the mouth with it. Like,
but you thought it was going to be like partying and women? What you thought
it was
going to be?
Yeah, I wanted that, man. I wanted a real college experience, because when you go to those small colleges, you don't get that. It's like I said, like it's high school again. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna step out here. I'm trying to get my deal on, you know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I needed that though, because I ended up figuring out that I wanted to be a comedian when I didn't go to class that other semester.
So basically, you went to college and was like, "Damn, we still got to do work."
Yeah. It's actually worse because the teachers don't give a crap about you.
Nah,
the teachers,
you
got to show up.
You got to do your work.
Yeah,
if you don't, you fail.
You walk in, it's a lecture. It's 1,000 people sitting in here. They don't care who you are. You walk, man. Listen, man, it ain't for everybody.
Let's go back to where
you going back?
Let's go back before college. Let's go back before high school.
Yeah.
Because it just don't just start. You just don't start being funny. Like, yeah, I can watch you and tell this guy is naturally funny.
Right.
It's not performative. Yeah. You had to be the class clown, the disruptor in school, something.
I was always the class clown, man, since I was like in elementary school. But I didn't know that's what I wanted. I wanted to do that. But I didn't know it was like a real profession that could like be my career.
Right.
You know, so like I'm young and I used to go to second, third grade and I used to ask kids, be like, who do you think the funniest in our class is? And they'd be like, oh, you're so funny, man. Like, you know, I thought that was like the cool thing. So every year, right. like my goal is like, yeah, I'm gonna make sure I'm the funniest in this whole grade. Like, I want everybody to agree that I'm the funniest. So it's just something I would put in the back of my head, but I never thought I would really end up making it a career, honestly. I just didn't think too deep into it. But I definitely have always been a class clown, man.
What'd you do back in the day that you realized, like, okay, when you think about it now, like, I went too far back then?
All them ass whoopers, man. My dad was whooping my ass.
Really?
Let me talk about not you ass. Went too far. What did ass. You go too far on?
What did I go too far on? What, in elementary school?
Yeah, like prank-wise.
So let me give you an
but,
example.
But the trauma, I'd rather hear about the trauma from the ass whooping.
Well, let me give you an example. So Charlamagne used to make fun of this kid that was mentally challenged.
Oh, man.
Right? And he would make fun of this kid all the time. Yep. Until one day, the kid turned around and beat Charlamagne's ass.
He didn't beat my ass. He choked me. It's a difference. He put me in a dope fiend. He put me in a sleep.
You know they strong, though.
What?
Hey, I'm telling Drewski, you. No, they strong.
You have no idea.
Yeah, you got to see how they built. They stature built. Right. They always got big booties. So you should know. Not. Hey, I'm telling you. I never. See, that's why I never did that. They just go into the bathroom. You know, when they go into the bathroom, they pull their pants all the way down. And I could tell from stature. I'm like, okay, this dude built up. He got some strong hind legs on. You know, you don't mess with them, man. I'm telling you right now.
Post you up in the paint real well.
I just always knew not to mess with them. I could tell.
All right, we got more with Drewski. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Drewski. Charlamagne?
Do you feel the need to prove yourself to, I guess, the OG comics? Because there was this thing one time where OG comics would be like, oh, people from the internet aren't real comics.
Yeah. Why do you think I bring this tea up here, though?
To look like
to look like I know what I'm talking about. I seen the OGs coming up here doing it. I seen like Kevin Hart and them. You know, I seen them bring tea, so I'm like, all right, let me make a statement. Let me bring that's a hot true, cocoa though. Up here. That's you know, true.
That's true. That's true. That is true. And you know,
so that's one of my things. I knew I was gonna do when I came up here.
Drink tea.
Yeah, I was just gonna bring something just to look like I'm noble. You know? Just to look.
Now, when you go on the room with Drama and Wiz Khalifa and all those, so how is doing that? Because you're a comedian amongst all these artists. Is that difficult? Because they want to see people perform.
You're saying like when we're just chilling, hanging out?
No, when you're on tour, when you're working.
Oh, when I'm on tour. Nah, that's not hard, man. You know, those are the ones that show love the most. I like when people come out and come to shows and stuff. Yeah, that's not.
But you never answered the question about do you feel, you know, you got to get these OGs respect as a comedian.
I think that always happens, man. And I think you just gotta go through the hard work. The first thing Kevin Hart told me when I went to his show and I went backstage, and I was like, I was just watching him, you know, everybody congratulating him, like, oh my God, it's a great show, oh my God, and I was just looking at him from across the room because they invited me to the green room, and I'm just. Like, all right, when's my moment to say what's up? You know, like, I was kind of nervous, you know. And I'm expecting just to be like, yo, you had a great show. Dude breezes past me, and he looks at me and says, stop being a bitch. I was like, what the hell is he talking about, man? And I had my hand extended out. Like, poor, hey, what's up, man? I thought he was going to be like, hey, you killing this shit, man. He walked past me again. He said, I'm telling you, stop being a bitch. And I'm like, what the fuck? So I'm asking his boys. I'm like, what is Kevin talking about, for real? And he walked up to me.
Get on that stage.
He said, get on that stage. He said, stop acting like you're too good to do stand-up. And he was like, you doing all the little hosts and the tours. He said, but you ain't doing what you're supposed to be doing. He said, see, y'all scared, man. He said, these new cats, y'all scared. Y'all think y'all got all the fame. Y'all think y'all the shit. He said, stop being a bitch. I'm like, man. And that hit my soul, man. And I started going to these open mics and working on my set, you know, and... Yeah, you got to fail before you.
We always ask. You remember your best show and your worst show?
Mm-hmm.
What was the worst show? Let's start with worst.
I had a really, really terrible experience more recently. I tried to say a joke.
What city?
This was in Atlanta. I was just going on an open mic, and it just fell very flat.
What was the joke about?
I'm trying to remember. I think I told a story.
That traumatizing? But, you had to forget?
Nah, yeah, that I just wanted to erase that from my mind. I can't think of the joke I said, but it was something about like my past. Yeah, it fell flat though. Like I think somebody clapped, like in agreement with me, and I knew. I said, okay, that wasn't what I wanted. I'm not up here preaching, man. Somebody started, you know, they're like, oh, okay. And I'm like, hey, man, expecting a laugh here.
So what do you do from that? So now you're Drewski. Now this is recent. So this is Drewski.
Yeah, yeah.
Millions of followers. Mm-hmm. You're on tour. You go on stage. They cheering because they're excited to see you. You tell
them. I said it straight. I tell them as soon as I get out there, I say, hey, man, I'm working on stuff. Y'all don't expect nothing because they, you know, people try to stand up and stand an ovation. But, you know, when you're working on your set for like a big show that's coming up, you got, hey, I just walked up there and said, hey, y'all know, hey, I am Drewski, yes, but I'm working on stuff. Don't expect no big, you know, my best jokes right now, you know. But that's how you get better, though. That's the best way.
How'd you walk off stage after they did that? Did you just end right there?
I think I tried to say something else. And, I followed. I said, that's my time. You know, just try to say, you try to do something and just, yeah, that's my time, y'all. Thank y'all.
I want to go back to what you said about Kevin.
We're talking about the best show. We're talking about the worst show.
Oh.
the worst show.
About positive stuff.
So what was the best show? Do you remember your best show you had?
I think my best show, I did a piece of Coulda Been when I was on the Lil Baby and Chris Brown tour. Mm-hmm. And I had this dude come out who was previously on my Instagram Live, and he came out and danced, and like, the crowd, it was hilarious. Like, I was just reacting to everything he did, and that was a really good show.
So you wasn't telling no jokes?
It was like improv, you know? I was just out there just wilding out. Like, I was f***ing with the crowd and, you know, all that. Sorry for cussing.
No, go ahead. But to that point, I knew exactly, when Kevin said stop being a bitch, I knew exactly what he was saying to you, because that's what all OGs do. Yeah. But do you have to hit the stage? That might not be your thing.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying stop being a bitch as in, like, go out there and try it before you act like you too good to be doing, or don't be out here acting like you, you know, don't be acting like you the shit, and you ain't even tried something that, you know, could be potentially huge for you. So he's not necessarily saying I have to be a stand-up comedian. Yeah. He's just saying, like, yo, go try it out. What are you,
because on the flip side, there's stand-up comedians that can't do what you do online.
Yeah.
They can't do. They're not good in sketch. Like, you might be a great sketch performer. Not saying that you can't be both. I'm just saying you might be. That might be your lane.
You right. Only time will tell.
Only time will tell.
We'll see if I get booed off another stage, or not even booed. Another clap like that.
Yeah.
Another clap like that. I might wrap it up.
Well, Drewski, we appreciate you for joining us, brother.
Mm-hmm. Give me your Instagrams.
So we can wrap this up. Jesus Christ.
That won't be the last time.
It won't be the last time, man.
You on your way. Like, Drewski is absolutely, positively going to be a big star in this industry. Everybody sees it. Everybody knows it. All you got to do is keep your head on straight, and sky's the limit.
And we might need you for a couple days, too.
Yeah.
We're going to have some celebrity hosts with us and some guest hosts and stuff like that. So we might need you for a couple of days if you're in town.
All right, man. Yeah, definitely. Let's do it.
No, for real.
Man, we serious.
Where? What's the event?
When we're moving. We're moving.
When we booking that?
We're moving to a new studio. Okay. And Angelique has her own show now. We're not rushing to get a new co-host. So we're going to rotate guest hosts for a long time.
Oh, that'd be dope.
Yeah. So, you know, when you're in town and you got something you want to promote, just pull up and do the radio show with us in the morning.
Let's do it.
All right.
I'm done.
But for real, give me Instagram.
Ah! You like, wrap this up, please. Yo, y'all follow me at Drewski. Tickets for the Coulda Woulda Shoulda tour will be on forlifeisworld.com. Y'all go get that.
All right. Well, it's Drewski. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday? With DraftKings Sportsbook Same Game Parlays, you can pocket more cash when you combine multiple bets from one game. Download the app, sign up with code ENVY, that's ENVY, and get a special offer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
It's topic time.
Pick up the phone, man.
Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with The Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ ENVY, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now, we're talking about what we're not doing anymore in 2023.
What are we leaving in 2023? I mean, 2022. I'm going to tell you something else, man. I told you going into 2023, I really want to see people grow up. And it's crazy to be 44 years old and be telling other 44-year-olds that they need to grow up. But I do really want to see men grow up. I want us to be able to, you know, have conversations with each other without the conflict. That's why I'm always stressing brothers to go to therapy to deal with that hurt, that pain that they have inside them. But I'm going to tell you something else, man. I've been hearing a lot of 40-somethings have conversations
about like money and wealth and things of that nature, and they're talking about it from the perspective of what they're wearing. That sounds so crazy.
Like jewelry.
They're like, oh, such and such ain't getting no money because, you know.
Well, it doesn't have to be 40. It could be 30 or 20. Or even basing their wealth off of jewelry or cars.
Yes.
They have in cash that they could hold up to their
air. My God.
Yeah, I think we need to leave that as well.
Salute to my good brother, John Hope Bryan, man. John Hope Bryan says, if the only assets you have is on your ass, you doing something wrong. Yeah,
absolutely.
So please, can we leave that in 2022 for all ages?
But all ages.
Especially, I cannot believe it's for talking like that.
Nah.
That's crazy to me.
Hello, who's this?
My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Come on, Lisa.
Good morning, Charlene. I'm calling because I'm leaving behind non-loyal ass people and cheating guys. Some guys do not know how to be committed.
Oh, boy.
Well, stop dating everybody except for black men, because black men don't cheat.
No, black men are the cheaters.
Could you stop? Why are you telling lies like this? We should leave lying in 2022. Why would you tell such a tale?
Well, I'm sorry you got cheated on, mama. Yeah, and you're right. We should leave cheating as women and men in 2022.
Ain't no black men cheating.
Nope.
Young black boys are cheating.
Well.
Black men are not cheating.
What do you consider TJ Holmes?
Huh?
Okay,
beige.
Beige.
All right.
Okay. Well, what is the age bracket for them not to cheat?
What do you mean? I think that we shouldn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you just said.
How old are you, mama? How old are you?
I'm 28.
And how old was the last white man that cheated on you?
A white man. Black man?
How old was he?
24.
He's still a little boy. That's what I'm telling you. He's still a young man.
How old do it take to be a grown man?
Let me see. I got there around 36, 37.
Oh, that's how long it took you to be a grown man?
I got there around 36. But I'm not saying you should wait that long. Huh?
Aren't you married? Yes. I've been with my wife.
It took him some time,
for
mama.
24 years. We've been married since 2014.
It took him some time, mama.
But I'm going to tell you the difference, man. All jokes aside, seriously, it's all about being intentional about doing the work on themselves. If you're intentional about growth, if you're intentional about being a good man, you will go do the work on yourself so, you know, you don't have women calling up to the radio station sad, like how she sounds this morning.
She sounds very sad. Breakfast Club, good morning.
Who that?
The Breakfast Club.
You already know.
Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Yes,
and
indeed.
And he has a new book, How to Be Loved. Ladies and gentlemen, Humble the Poet. Welcome, sir.
Thank you so much for having me.
What's up, my guy? What inspired this book, man?
Trying to figure out where I kept going wrong in love. So pretty much it's been like, how come I'm not feeling love? How come I'm not receiving love, even being in beautiful relationships? And then going down this journey and trying to figure out what to do, and started reading every love coach, every philosopher, all the religious texts, psychologists, everything. And being at the front of the class, taking as many notes as possible. And the first thing I realized is like, I have so much love in my life. I'm not receiving it. That built up all these walls. And I thought all these walls were protecting me, but really they were just serving as a prison, keeping me out.
Oh, you're loved now.
Is it because you don't love yourself?
I think I didn't know how to love myself. I didn't understand, even though it's extremely simple, not easy, but simple, I didn't understand how important it is that if you don't have love for yourself or you don't cultivate that relationship, it doesn't matter what your relationship with anybody else is.
That's right. Did you find love? Did you actually find it, or is it still a mission, still looking?
So what I realized is you can't find love. Mm. Love is always there, and it's about realizing love. So the analogy I like to use is like love is like a breeze, and you have to open your sails to love. It's not about looking for the breeze. It's about doing the work to open the sails.
Do you know the definition of love? Because in my relationship, I didn't necessarily know the definition of love to me. Like, you know what people tell you what love is, but I didn't know the actual definition of what love is. So do you know the definition, or do you break that down?
Yeah, so there's a beautiful quote by Naval Ravikant that says, love is what's left when all other emotions are gone. So, and I think what that is actually peace. So love isn't something that you have to find, acquire, earn, or win. You clean up the clutter, get rid of everything else, and then what's left is love.
Let me ask you a question. One moment. So if you love somebody, right, and you know how people say, you know, you might see a couple and the man cheats on a woman or the woman cheats on the man. Could they possibly love that person if they would cheat on them? Or if they get into an altercation or is it domestic violence? Could you love that person and fight them? You know what I mean? Could you love that person and knowingly hurt them? Is that love?
So the better way to frame it, and this is a Peter Krohn idea, is instead of saying I love you, you say you show me what love is. Because again, the love is constant. And what you're doing is you develop a relationship with somebody and you create a pathway of love. But then the problem is what we do to mess up that pathway is we start focusing on things like control, power, attention, validation, all of these things that kind of feel like love, but they're not actually love. Because if they were actually love, love is like, I don't need anything else. All these other things is I need more and more and more and more. It's not having everything. It's not needing anything. So when we talk about stuff like this, you're talking about unhealthy relationship dynamics. And that has nothing to do with love. And what that's actually doing is closing the pathways of love between you and somebody else. Like me and you, over the years we've chatted, we are creating a bond over time. Mm-hmm. Now, if I do something disrespectful, I'm closing that bond. I'm closing that pathway.
So does that mean you don't necessarily love them the way that you say you do, right? Because if I love something or I'm in love with something, or not in love, but if I love something, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to do everything, or I should do everything not to hurt that person or not to show or not to close that pathway, like yeah. you said. Because if I close that pathway, that means I'm not showing them love. That means I actually don't love them like I say I do.
Yeah, so part of loving yourself is going easy on yourself because none of us are perfect. So we're all going to make mistakes. So it's looking at it from that perspective as well. Not like what I should do when I love somebody. So a lot of that's going to be culture. Mm-hmm. Depends on where you are in the world. The definition of marriage is different. The definition of monogamy is different. All these definitions are different. When you have love for somebody, you are doing your best to serve them. And what you realize is trying to serve one person is completely different than trying to serve somebody else. And depending on where they're at, you know. And it's not something I got to win. I don't have to deserve it. I don't have to be worthy of love. I don't have to be enough for love. Everybody we know in our lives that we know all their imperfections. None of that disqualifies them from love. None of that means they don't deserve to be loved. And then also, you know, you guys are both parents. You guys have held your children and loved them immediately. You know, love doesn't require us to do or be anything.
You know, when you say a person can show me love, what was the quote?
You show me what love is.
You show me what love is. I don't know if that can be received if you don't know what love is. Like, I'm talking to Humble, like, I didn't have Humble on Brilliant Age, it's me and Humble talk, but, like, your first, last, and best love should be self-love. If you don't 100%. Know what love feels like, you won't even know what you're being showed.
100%. And it's the exact same recipe. For me and you to develop a stronger bond, it's got to be vulnerability. Mm-hmm. For you and you to develop a stronger bond, it's got to be vulnerability. You know, for you and your wife to develop a stronger bond, it's got to be vulnerability. Mm-hmm. You guys have to go out on dates. You guys have to share things with you. You have to be willing to take a risk of getting hurt. And it's the same thing with yourself. Journaling, being honest with yourself. Mm-hmm. Prayer, mm-hmm. irrespective of what your religious beliefs are, when people pray, that is the time they are the most honest about what they want and the most honest about what they're grateful for. Mm-hmm. So it's not performative. When you do that, you become much more vulnerable with yourself. Instead of looking at this on some surface level stuff where people are literally just outsourcing the antidote to their loneliness by having another person around. But the antidote to loneliness isn't having people around you. It's being connected.
Now, when do you think we get to the point where, like, you know, one of your Instagram pages, you know, you would come in, you know, looked up on a book and you posted a picture of yourself with no shirt on, right?
Yeah.
Where do we change where people would make fun of or talk about people that weren't in shape, right?
Yeah.
Where people were talking about dad bods. And I just remember a time growing up as a kid, everybody in the beach was all sizes, yeah. shapes, big, small, people in shape, people not in shape. But where do we get to that place in society where it's like people only love a certain type of body, where they feel like if anything is not that chiseled and eight pack or six pack.
Is that why you got the nose job, bro? It sound personal, bro. What's next, man? You gonna get on the steroid? This sounds personal, bro. Like, you sound hurt about this.
When do we get to that place as a society where it almost feels like we don't love ourselves and we want to be somebody else? And shut up. I didn't get no damn nose jobs.
I think the first thing is try to figure out where do these ideas come from. Mm-hmm. So, from a science perspective, healthy body weight for a man is between 18 and 22%. Right? For a woman, it's even higher. So, there's doctors out there saying a woman should never have a six-pack. Mm-hmm. And for men, you know, that should not be a long-term
goal. So, a man shouldn't have a six-pack.
Should not. All right. Actually. Like,
I'm with that.
You feel bad about yourself already?
That serves a purpose. But however, you know, so for example, like, I've been hired to model in situations before. They didn't hire me to model because I'm beautiful. It's because I was sample size. I'm the size and the shoulder length, you know, and depending on what I eat, the belly goes down. But at the same time, the question is, who defines all of this? Where do we get these ideas from? Well, these ideas come from businesses that want to sell you stuff for money. So it's realizing that, look, we're being taught things. You watch a Disney movie, that's teaching you about love. You watch porn, that's teaching you about love. You watch a rom-com, that's teaching you about love. You watch a reality show, all these things are subtly teaching us about love. And we have to realize these ideas aren't ours. And I think that's the big thing. A lot of times we think we own our thoughts, but they're just put into us. And then they start sounding like us. Our parents, we grew up, our parents, whoever raised us, that's the first model of love we have, no matter how functional, dysfunctional. And then that becomes comfort. So this type of love we saw growing up becomes our comfort food. And if it's dysfunctional, then we lean into that. And what I'm, because people will be like, you wrote a book, you ain't married, you ain't this, you ain't that. I'm like, that's not what this book is about. Mm-hmm. This book is not about finding a partner. This book is about not worrying either way. Ooh. And being happy with how your life is. And mm-hmm. this book is about loving yourself as you are. So the purpose of that was, because an activity I have in the book is, look at yourself in the mirror and not be judgmental. And be grateful. So I'm like, all right, I'm going to do that. That video has 2 million views. Too many people see me in my underwear. And it's like, that scared the crap out of me to do it.
What the but, print look like, though?
Hmm?
Nothing. Listen, because you know, you got to factor in everything. You know what I'm saying?
He's been
gotta,
good, bro.
No, but you got to factor these things recently, in. Because you should that. Look. You should look and say, okay, what does your print look like? Because if you got a big print, people be looking like, damn, he don't look like he packing all that. So if you look like you packing, 2 million people are watching.
How do we get here? So question, do you believe in love languages? You know, this, it's been the big conversation in the last year. People talking about the love language. What's your love language? Yeah. What's your thought on
it? I think there's only one love language, and that's to be seen and understood. And then, you know, they just took that and made it more detailed. To be seen and understood through physical touch, through gifts, through, I don't even know what the other ones are. So I feel like they just made it specific. I look at it like horoscopes. Everyone just wants to be a part of a certain team, and they want to be like unique to that. But as I said, love to me, we should focus on love as the verb. Like, love is service. Stop focusing on what you require as much as giving it out. If you want to realize, that's what I'm saying, not instead of finding love, it's more like realizing love. If you want to realize love, the easiest way to do that is by loving people. And love them because it's a gift that you have, not because it's a loan that you want paid back.
We got more with one of my favorite young minds on the planet, Humble the Poet, on The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
There's a lot happening these days, but I have just the thing to get you up to speed on what matters without taking too much of your time. The 7 from the Washington Post is a podcast that gives you the 7 most important and interesting stories, and we always try to save room for something fun. You get it all in about 7 minutes or less. I'm Hannah Jewell. I'll get you caught up with the 7 every weekday. So follow the 7 right now.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy. Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Humble the Poet.
Now, they said that you haven't spoke to your mother in a while because of a comment she made about an ex of yours. Is that true?
Well, when I wrote it.
Because you love your mom, but you ain't speak to your mom.
Yeah. So, it's understanding. So, I was in an extremely serious relationship, and then it ended. It ended over the pandemic. And my mom, you know, was crazy over her. So, what would happen is... I moved to LA after the pandemic, so I'd call in with my mom every day, and every day she would just remind me, you know, it would have been a year now that you guys would have been together.
Oh my god,
it would have been this, and I was like, look, mom, like you're making me feel bad. I understand how you feel, but you're doing this. So the way that was the last chapter of the book. So what it was is I finished this book, let's say January 2022, mm-hmm. finished. You know, you got to go through it like a 9-month process editing. The day before the book was due for print, which was this September, I was like, okay, it's been 9 months. I got to write something. So I wrote that last chapter. So in that last chapter, in that September, I had spent like a month avoiding talking to my mom.
How did y'all mend that?
I mean, immigrant families, man, just pretend it didn't exist.
Tell mom if you don't cut it out, I'm going to cut you off.
Well, it's not even about cut you off. It's just like, look, mom, like you're not, I understand you're upset over this breakup and it sucks. And it breaks my heart that it's breaking your heart, but I can't do nothing. And this has been a constant theme of my I think a lot of immigrant kids in general, a lot of kids in general, it's like your dreams can't include other people's names. Mm-hmm. Your dreams and your goals have to be your dreams and goals. Your dreams can't be for my son to get married and for me to have grandkids. That can't be your dream. You're just putting pressure on somebody else to be something that they're not where they are right now. We can't fall in love with other people's potential. You can only fall in love with your potential. So that's what the challenge was. So there was just a time where it just got so much where it was like, you know, I could feel tension every time I saw her call because the questions are always the same. Are you eating? What did you learn how to cook? How's your puppy? And then, you know what? You would have been better had you just stayed here, had you went and just got married.
Well, why did the relationship end? Was it searching for love? Or
it was through this journey. As I said, like I was in a great relationship with a great person, but I wasn't able to receive. You know, because I did not have a healthy relationship with myself. I had this, as I said, I had all these walls up. I had this idea that I need to be independent. I had all this idea that, you know, I'm on the grind. I had to do all these different things. And then also realizing ideas like codependency. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is when you break up with somebody, what you're really breaking up with is a version of you in that relationship. You're not breaking up with the person. You're breaking up with who you are in that relationship. Realizing that what's required for you to keep that relationship up, there was a tension there. Because it's like, you know, family expectations, all of these different things. And that wasn't me living my authentic life. And it wasn't for any other reason than me not doing the work internally to be authentic about that and be honest with me. Like, wait a minute, what is this? And a lot of that's trial and error. You know, and I'm in therapy now. And one of the big things my therapist says is, your goal is to quickly realize somebody isn't good for you. That's your goal. How quickly can you realize there's an incompatibility? And, you know, though, you know, some days are more successful than others. And that goes back to another idea, which is love. A big idea that people, I think, have misunderstood about love is they think it's glue. I love my partner enough. That's enough to keep us together. Love is not glue. Love is fuel. Relationships, all relationships, romantic, friendships, business, everything require work. The love that you have is the fuel to make you work at it. You can't just be like, I love you, so that's enough to keep us together. The work that, the unsexy work, the day-to-day unsexy work is what's going to keep a relationship together.
Man, everything you're saying is so true. And, you know, when you talk about, sometimes we say, oh, we've outgrown somebody, right? And I'm not even talking about, like, intimate relationships. I'm talking about with friends. Mm-hmm. It's not even that you just outgrew that person. You actually did break up with that person. And the reason you broke up with them is because you broke off the unhealthy versions of yourself, and y'all might have been trauma bonding. So sometimes when we say we are grown people because, oh, that person's still on the same thing that we used to be on, that person hasn't dealt with their trauma yet. I've dealt with mine. We had a trauma bond. Now that I broke those parts of me off, me and that person ended up breaking up.
Yeah, completely. And that's a really good way of putting it, where it's realizing that, look, it's not about the other person. It's about you So instead of having expectations of other people, just have standards for yourself. Absolutely. And be like, these are my standards. The people who live up to it, I will invest in them. And the people that don't, you know, best of luck to you. I can still love you from afar. And I think the important thing with that is you're allowed to change and evolve your standards. Because we don't know what we don't know. You know, so all of a sudden, you know, when you know, I know you're big on investing. But the idea behind that really is thinking long term. You're deferring gratification. You're buying the thing that will let you buy the thing.
Correct.
Right? That's a mindset. You know, that's the marshmallow test that they give kids. You know, wait 5 minutes. Here's a marshmallow. If you don't eat it in 5 minutes, then we'll give you 2 marshmallows. Just teaching them to defer gratification. Now you got to be around people who share that mindset, even if they're not investing. You know, and so now that could be your standard of who you're going to devote your time. Mm-hmm. And because your time is one of the most valuable things you have. So we have to continually, instead of having expectations of anybody, just define our standards. Be like, these are my standards. You live up to the standards. You know, I can invest in you. If you don't, no disrespect. I accept you as you are, but I can't invest time, energy, attention, and work to create a pathway of love with you.
Absolutely.
You know what else too, man? I like it that you keep talking about vulnerability, because I think that sometimes in relationships, I don't even know what we think vulnerability is, but I'd be thinking sometimes vulnerability, man, is letting people see that dark side.
Yeah.
Like letting people see that shadow side. You know what I mean? That side that we try to keep to ourselves. Like, I'm just talking about like sometimes you might be thinking some real effed up stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Can you tell your significant other that? Or can you tell somebody you love that, or somebody that loves you and they still love you?
Yeah. So that's really good, because I think the other thing is we always think about 0 to 100. It's like either you're not vulnerable with somebody or you're completely vulnerable. And there's a lot in between. So what I learned in therapy is have 2 vulnerable stories in your pocket that you could tell a stranger that won't scare them away.
Mm.
And that's a way to establish a bond. So one of mine, for example, is speaking about dogs. I had a dog growing up. He lived out his life for 11 years. Broke my heart to put him to sleep. But, you know, he was 11 years old. His hips went. Broke my heart to put him to sleep. Avoided getting another dog. Became everybody's backseat dog owner, telling them how to raise their dogs. And then eventually somebody said, hey, there's this puppy available. Do you want it? And I'm like, no, I'm over dogs. I got to move to America and do all this. Eventually Snap got the dog and it made me so super happy. There's vulnerability in the story, not enough vulnerability to scare a stranger away.
Mm-hmm.
And what happens is when you're vulnerable with somebody, the reason we fear being vulnerable is we fear judgment. We fear shame. But what I've realized is when I'm vulnerable with people, it invites them to be vulnerable with me. That may allow someone to tell me a story about a loss that they had. And the other one is losing my grandmother, talking about, you know, being a little kid and sleeping in the bed with her and tracing all the veins or the wrinkles in her hands, and, you know, just hearing her stories, not understanding what she said because she didn't have any teeth, and just this beautiful story and how much I miss her. Again, that allows someone to connect with you on a deeper level. You don't got to tell them all the shadow stuff, but you can work your way up.
Gotcha.
You know, and I think that's a really important thing. And again, being vulnerable with yourself. Being like, well, why did that thing that, you know, Charlamagne say to me, why did that bother me? And write it out. You know, and the easiest way to journal, here's a step-by-step way to journal. Step 1, just write about the event. Step 2, write about your feelings about how that situation made you feel. Just write them all out, however it made you feel. Made you feel upset, jealous, angry, happy, excited, whatever. You'll realize the majority of emotions we have are on the negative side, because that's how we learn to survive. Step 3, look at those feelings that you wrote out and write your thoughts about it. And be like, okay, I understand. Okay, the reason I felt insecure about that is because the way he said it sounded like that kid in the 7th grade. Or the way, you know, and then all of a sudden you start building this thing called self-awareness. You're picking up on your patterns. And now you realize you don't own your emotion. I am not happy. I'm feeling happiness. I'm not anxious. I'm feeling anxious. You separate yourself from it, because every single emotion everybody has ever felt was impermanent. They all go away.
Mm-hmm.
Good ones and bad ones.
Mm-hmm.
So this journaling will allow you to be vulnerable with yourself and be honest with yourself. And you'll build a deeper connection with yourself. And then you'll be able to better articulate to other people, you know, how they can be around you. And you're just setting boundaries, and your boundaries are about you, not about them.
All right, we got more with Humble Apo. When we come back, don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy. Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're still kicking it with Humble Apo.
You know, the last chapter in the book is called The Last Book I'll Ever Write.
Yeah.
Now, you've written 4 super successful books. You don't really mean that, right?
So the way I try to write, so again, first I think to myself, like, what's more important than love? What else is there to write? And as I said, I wrote that last chapter the day the book was to hit print. So it didn't even get edited. And, you know, that didn't go through the editing process. And it was like, what else is left for me to say? And I was looking at it, squeezing out, you know, my sponge to hit it. And I try to write books with that idea. So, you know, going into that, and then also with just other opportunities coming my way, it's something that I've been exploring. I think recently helping out a couple of friends in the world of anxiety has made me think about anxiety a lot. And the idea of moving to New York, I was like, oh, there's a beautiful book there. Move to New York and write about anxiety. Like, that fits. So there's a lot of ideas there, and then maybe in the form of an audiobook or something like that, just watching how the industry changes and stuff. But I wrote this book with the idea this is going to be the last book. And I also talked about it being the most expensive book, because just, you know, writing this book meant I had to let go of layers of myself. And it's cool to be vulnerable, but it does make you vulnerable,
mm-hmm.
you know, and I'm way more emotional than I used to be, because I shed a lot of walls. And then that was cool for writing and creating art. But that ain't cool when you're out reaching out to people, trying to do stuff, trying to get, you know, get on people's shows, do whatever, hearing no's, all of that. That made me super mindful of it. I'm game to do it. And as I said, I'm thinking a lot about anxiety, and I'll do some research for the next couple of months on that. And there's something good that I want to write about it. I'm heavily inspired by Kendrick, and I feel like he speaks when there's something worth saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great books on anxiety. There's one called Shook One, Anxiety Playing Tricks on Me.
That's a great one.
This guy. It looks like Morris Chestnut, but it's a good one.
It was Morris Chestnut.
I keep hearing.
That guy does not look nothing like Morris Chestnut.
What you said about Kendrick is interesting too, because Kendrick explored a lot of conversations about love that men don't have.
Yeah.
And I think one of those relationships is definitely the relationship between a father and a son, because that is the first man that you love and the first man that is supposed to love you. But if you grew up in a certain era, like me, 44 years old, my dad grew up in a time in the 1900s when they definitely didn't know how to love themselves. Yeah. They definitely didn't have the tools in any way, shape, or form. So they instilled that in us. And then we're kind of like the first generation that has the luxury of healing.
Yeah.
And so now we're looking at them like, oh, goddamn.
Yeah.
Why'd you instill that in me? But you still, I don't know if you want to call it toxic, because toxic ain't the word, but it's like a dysfunctional thing, because I love you, but you kind of F me up.
And that goes back to this idea of going easy on yourself. When you go easy on yourself, you go easy on other people, and it's like, you knew what you knew.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they came from a world like that, mm-hmm. you know? And it's, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. maybe in 40 years, you know, when your children are adults, they're going to be dramatically more evolved as an individual than you are. And they're going to look at you as prehistoric
mm-hmm.
with your mindsets and whatever. And we don't even know what those things are. You
sure.
know, like back then, people used to have lead paint. You know, I think it was in the 70s. Before the 70s, people were driving without seatbelts. There are things that we think are common sense that you realize, like, there was a time that people didn't even think about.
That's right. There were no airbags. Like you said, seatbelts, lead paint.
We don't know what 2023's ignorance is. We're like, oh my, we were carrying these devices in our pockets the whole time. And now we all wonder, like, why we got certain diseases or what have you. Or we were eating all this food that messed us up. So they're going to look at us the same way. And it's just, you're going to be like, look, I knew what I knew. And I always think about that with my parents, because I definitely grew up in a world that was like, my family to this day, is the subtle signal. They always had my back, but I only went to them in emergencies. You know, I knew if shit hit the fan, I can go to my family and they will have my back. But what if I was like 15 and I had a crush and needed advice from my sister? I wouldn't go to her, you know? And then you start thinking that you're a burden to other people. I don't want to bother them. And it took somebody last year.
Oh, you go to them and get bad advice.
But I mean, just the vulnerability of it.
Yeah.
You value through the vulnerability. I think, you should not just go to one person for advice ever. You should always triangulate your advice and get as many people who know what they're talking about. But the idea of even asking somebody.
Yeah.
So what I realized in my house was like, we only went to each other for emergencies. The little things we did, and we became overly self-regulated. I don't need nobody. And this was a conversation I was having with somebody yesterday. Like, there's no such thing as self-made. We all need each other. We're all interdependent. You know, even if you did the grind and it felt like you did it by yourself, you still lived in a part of the world that maybe wasn't at war. So you were able to do it. Somebody paved the roads for you to get around. Somebody kept the subway going for you to move around. We need each other.
That's why folks are so anxious now, because I can't rely on anybody to keep me secure. Like, when you walk in a room and it's mad people, I know Red, I know Envy, I know Nick, I know Humble, but I still got to make sure all of y'all are good mm-hmm. because all it takes is one person to go crazy. I'm using the word crazy to go crazy.
Yeah.
One person to flip and ruin everybody's day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You don't know where that could come from nowadays.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a beautiful way to look at it. It's service. You're here to serve. Love is serving people. Love is a verb. And that's why the book is called How to Be Loved, but the D is in parentheses, because it's really about how to be loved. how to realize you're a source of love. And if you want to realize love, it's looking inwards. You can't solve internal issues with external solutions. It's never going to work. So instead, it's like cultivate a healthier relationship with yourself, which means learning how to be by yourself. Mm-hmm. Spending time by yourself isn't being in your room on your phone. It's literally being by yourself. And then you'll start to realize the difference between loneliness and solitude. Mm. Solitude is the reward for being by yourself. Loneliness is the punishment. And the difference is just getting to know yourself, spending time with yourself, understanding, okay, I'm full of anxiety. Why? Oh, well, I'm so used to having a device or something giving me some dopamine and a reward. Okay, I'm going through withdrawal. That's cool. I got to do it. Most of the mental health issues we have aren't coming from unpleasant emotions. They're coming from suppressing unpleasant emotions.
That's right.
I feel anxiety. Let me take a shot. I feel anxiety. Let me smoke something. I feel anxiety. Let me distract myself. All of that. The anxiety is your friend. It's a message. It's telling you something. Pain is always a message. Whether the pain is take your hand off that hot stove, whether that pain is, hey, a good example I heard recently is names. Somebody can mention a name today, and if it's one of our exes, it's going to trigger us in a different way, and we feel it. Pay attention to that. Like, why did that do something? Oh, because it reminded me of so-and-so. Okay, let me go journal about that. You know, so what psychologists do is they make you take your most traumatic experiences and speak about them over and over and over and over again until the weight reduces. I'm not going to say it completely goes away, but you're disinfecting it by letting it out.
Yeah, you know, what you said is so real, man. And I told you this the other day. My therapist said that anxiety and faith can't coexist. So whenever you start feeling anxious about something, that anxiety starts kicking in, tell yourself your own hero story.
Yeah.
Literally. Like, mm-hmm. Tell yourself your hero story. Like, gas yourself up, but you're gassing yourself up with the truth. Like, tell yourself about the things that you've succeeded, mm-hmm. Tell yourself how you succeeded, tell yourself where you've come from, you know, yeah. Tell yourself the good that you do for other people, you know, mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, tell yourself your own hero story, and it works.
It really definitely works. And again, the idea, you know, the subtitle of the book is Going Easier on Yourself. The reason we have anxiety is because we're thinking about the future. Regrets mm-hmm. are about yesterday. Anxiety is about tomorrow. And the reason we have to actively tell our hero story is because our brains are designed mm-hmm. to ignore everything that works and focus on what's out of place. That's why we're always noticing what's out of place in our life. Everything could be lined up, you know, and then we're like, well, that one thing. That's how our brains are designed. There's nothing wrong with us. That kept us alive in nature forever. And that software is built into us. Recognize it. And do activities like this. So I have to actively express gratitude through telling my story. And even the idea of gratitude, I love this from Jay Shetty. It's not say what you're grateful for. It's close your eyes, remember a time you felt gratitude, and relive it.
Gotcha. The last book on love you'll ever need, man. How to Be Love.
That's right. Humble the Poet, we appreciate you for joining us.
Give me information, Humble. Me.
Hit me up, social media, Instagram, @humblethepoet.com. The book is available everywhere you get books. Amazon, Barnes & Noble, all them good places. Indigo if you're in Canada. Or just go to my website, humblethepoet.com/love. And also, there's an audio version of the book. And it was a very emotional experience reading this book because there's some emotional stuff in there. So if you want to hear that, check it out.
All right. Well, it's Humble the Poet. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club. Your mornings will never be the same.
Looking to turn a small bet into a big payday? With DraftKings Sportsbook same-game parlays, you can pocket more cash when you combine multiple bets from one game. Download the app, sign up with code ENVY, that's ENVY, and get a special offer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details.
Charlamagne, say the game, dunk it, utter shame. Charlamagne.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day does not discriminate.
I might not have the song of the day, but I got the Donkey of the Day.
So if you ever feel I need to be a donkey, man, hit me with the heat.
Yes, the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Well, Donkey of the Day goes to an Arizona priest named Andre Arango. Okay, he is a priest, a Catholic priest, who quite possibly has bought a whole bunch of you a first-class ticket to hell. There is thousands of y'all walking around right now with illegitimate baptisms. What is Uncle Charlotte talking about this morning? What is the good brother Lenard saying in regards to illegitimate baptisms? Exactly what I said. All right. Some of y'all baptisms are null and void, fraudulent, unauthorized, unsanctioned, unofficial, unlicensed, whatever. Okay. Okay. Whatever you had happen under the water don't count because priest Andres Arango didn't say it right. He didn't say the baptism right.
It's like a spell. You know how your iPhone has 10 Harry Potter spells that work with Siri, but they don't work if you don't pronounce it right? That's kind of what happened with your baptism. One word kept you from being cleansed of all your sins. I can't make this kind of foolishness up. Let's go to Fox 10 Phoenix for the report, please.
One word has made a divine difference when it comes to the first sacrament in the Catholic faith, baptisms. Phoenix priest Father Andres Arango resigned and apologized after he had changed a pivotal word in the baptismal rite. The priest had been saying, "We baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." The correct version starts with, "I baptize you." Arango had been part of the Catholic diocese in Phoenix since 2005. He posted an apology letter through the diocese, saying in part he would dedicate his energy to remedy the situation. Other sacraments taken after, like confirmation, marriage, and holy orders, could also be invalid if the baptism itself is invalidated.
I can't keep up with this level of perfection y'all got going on in 2022. This kind of perfection you have to have now, I can't deal with it. You know, if this is the kind of perfection you have to have, I'm screwed. Okay, I'm confused by this. Instead of saying, "I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," during baptism, priest Andre said, "We." And the issue with using "we" is that it is not the community that baptizes a person. Rather, it is Christ and him alone who presides at all of the baptisms. And so it is Christ Jesus who baptizes. God, you know my heart. And I try to only say what it is that you want me to say. And in this moment, the Spirit is telling me to scream, "Cap! Cap, 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 cap. Where is President Joe Biden when I need him? Huh? Let me hear it." Oh, well, pull it up when you can. Okay.
There's a cap.
That's right. Say it again, President.
There's a cap.
That's right. Priest Arango, it is I. It is I when you're getting baptized, as in you. You are baptizing people in the name of the Holy Spirit. Even if you say "we" to me means you, God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. That's a collective. That's "we." That's a group. That's the Migos. That's Destiny's Child. That's Wu-Tang Clan. It's a collective, okay? The lie, the cap, is that it is Christ and him alone who presides at all of the sacraments. And it is Christ Jesus who baptizes. Jesus might be there in spirit, but Jesus didn't dunk you under that water. Jesus not physically there with you, but that priest Andreas standing there, okay, he's there, and him dunking you in the name of God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, that sounds about right to me. So why is priest Arango getting donkey of the day? I'll tell you why. For stepping down, for resigning, for causing all of this fuss for no damn reason. Do you really think God, okay, G-O-D, the Almighty, who forgives us for all our sins, if we repent, it's tripping because you said "we" and not "I"? Seriously, does intention not matter? Baptism represents the forgiveness and cleansing from sin that comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Okay, baptism publicly acknowledges one's confession of faith and belief in the gospel message. It also symbolizes the sinner's entrance into the community of believers. You think all of that changed because the priest said "we" and not "I"? Huh? When, if you ask me, "I" is the right thing to say because, like I said, I, as in you, priest Andreas, are the person doing the baptism and doing it in the name of God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost. That sounds like the right thing to do to me. It's like when you accept an award at an award show for someone who is not there. You say, "I accept this award on their behalf." You could even say, "We accept this award on their behalf." You could even say, "I accept this award in the name of God, Jesus, and the Holy Ghost." All that is all good to me. It's fine. The award will get to who it belongs to, just like the meaning of being baptized will get to the person being baptized, regardless of if a priest misses a word. We're in a teachable moment, people. Instead of stepping down, can this priest not talk about how he just made a mistake? Is this even considered a mistake? Is this something that even has to be acknowledged? Would anyone even notice if he didn't say anything? Like, what are we doing, man? We are holding people to a standard of perfection that Jesus couldn't even reach. And this is why Jesus is not coming back. This is why Jesus sends all your prayers to his spam folder. Why would he come back? Jesus is like, "No, no, no. Y'all holding people to a standard of perfection that I'm not even familiar with, okay? Jesus even thinks y'all taking this perfection of Christ thing way too far." And that is why God put it on my spirit to give priest Andreas Arango a holy hee-haw. This is ridiculous. Mm-mm-mm.
For missing a word? You know how many words I miss? How many words I mispronounce? But God knows my heart. He knows my intention. He knows what I'm trying to say. That's why even if I say something and I miss a word or mispronounce it, you still feel it. You still know what I was trying to say. You can still respond because it's about intention.
I don't know. How you know God just don't call you a jerk?
He don't call me. God loves me. He or she loved me. Okay? Trust me when I tell you. I am blessed, black, and highly favored. You see me? Look at me. That's a glow. Do you see me?
That's a jerk.
That's a glow. Okay?
All right.
Better act like you know.
All right. All right. Well, thank you for that donkey today.
Yes, indeed.
All right. So don't move. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, everybody, this is Carrie Champion, and I'm here to announce that the 2024 Black Effect Podcast Festival is headed to Atlanta's very own Pullman Yards on April 27th. Last year was incredible, and this year will be even more thrilling, especially with Nissan coming back along for the ride. Nissan is returning with some empowering activations to support Black excellence in the STEAM fields. Have a podcast idea you've been eager to share with the culture? Well, Nissan is back with your Pitch Your Podcast Lounge. You'll have the chance to record your podcast idea and have it shared with the Black Effect Podcast Network team. But that's not all. Nissan is taking the stage to spotlight some of the HBCU scholars from their own Thrill of Possibility Summit. Nissan's action-packed weekend of community building, mentorship, and professional development for HBCU scholars pursuing professions in STEAM. The Black Effect Podcast Festival is the event you want to be at. You don't want to miss it because no matter where life takes you, Nissan will dial up the thrill in your adventures. Visit blackeffect.com/podcastfestival for more details.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
We went from normal life, healthy child to acute lymphoblastic leukemia or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy. And we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
Yeah, I got to pack the kids' lunch and snacks, and I've been packing donuts and Pop'ums and, you know, fruit snacks and, you know, ham and cheese or salami and cheese sandwiches. And
that's just because you're a lazy-ass dad who don't know how to cook. That's all it is. If you knew how to cook, you'd be feeding your kids, better meals than that. And you on the run. You on the run just as much as your kids.
Yeah, too. But people were like, yo, Envy, where's the fruit? Where the carrots? Where the vegetables? So
I agree with them.
This morning, I went there and I got some strawberries. I got some grapes. I got some of their favorite fruit. And I put it in their bags as well. But on the way in, I was reading this thing about fat kids. And I guess I can't use fat.
Man, who says you can't use fat?
All right. Well, children struggling with being fat and obesity should be evaluated and treated.
Obesity is worse than fat. Obesity sounds crazy.
I'd rather be fat than obese.
They're saying the
and
practice.
Overweight sounds dangerous. As soon as they tell you the plane overweight, you don't want to get on it, right?
You're right.
Okay.
You're right. So they're saying the practice of watchful waiting. That's where you just, you know, wait and say, hey, my kid is going to outgrow it. That's it. That doesn't usually happen. They said if your kid is as fat as a kid, they're going to be fat as a teen. So they're saying 14.4 million young people in the U.S. are pretty big, and they say it leads to long health problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, and depression.
Well, we're not talking about poverty. You know, let me see the demographics of those kids. Let me see the locations where those kids live at. And I bet you that they live in food deserts. And, you know, there's plenty of studies that show, you know, people who live in food deserts are at an elevated risk for obesity. You know what I mean? If you got inadequate access to food, then you more than likely going to eat cheap, high calorie stuff. You're going to eat snacks. You're going to eat all the fast food. You're going to eat from the Chinese restaurant in the hood. You're going to do that constantly. You know what I mean? And that will lead to obesity when you're young. I think that the reason a lot of those kids probably do grow out of it, you know, because hopefully as they get older, they get in better financial situations and they pick up more healthier habits. Some people, majority, don't end up in better financial situations. So they keep those same piss poor habits with them throughout their whole life. You know what I mean? And they spend their whole life trying to survive off snacks.
But I do agree. I do agree that we have to attack this problem at a younger age because you teach habits, right? And one of those things, if you're teaching kids about eating right and exercising and working out, they're going to continue to do that when they get older, when they're teens. And I think we have to create these habits and not just say, you know what, we'll see what happens. Or, you know, a lot of times parents, even myself, we give our kids foods that are not bad because, like you said, we're running, we're doing this, we're doing that, but we have to make sure we watch what our kids eat as well.
You're not wrong, Envy, but you're speaking from a place of having something. You know what I mean? You can't do any of that you just said with no money. Like, these folks are literally just out here trying to survive. It's not even a thing of them practicing bad habits because they want to. They're eating like this because they have to survive. They live in food deserts where there's adequate access to good food.
You're right. But you know,
they can't afford to go to Whole Foods and buy the fresh fruits and vegetables and all that kind of crazy
stuff.
But as
a kid, we didn't have Whole Foods and things like that. But my mom made sure I didn't have McDonald's every day. She cooked, whether it was, we had some wild stuff as a kid.
Well, Dominicans cook a lot.
Well, we did have rice and beans, but we had, you know.
Of course you did.
You know what? Forget it.
What do you mean?
Princess.
You're Dominican. Of course you had rice and beans.
Hello?
Hey, y'all. Y'all had me on Family Matters.
Good morning.
You had you on
Family Matters. Good morning. I was thinking of Family Matters.
Oh, you're talking about anyway. The TV theme songs we play. Okay,
yes.
Got you.
Good morning.
Yes,
what's your thoughts?
Yes. Good morning to you all. So listen, guys, it's super multifaceted, right? I think the best politically correct word will be overweight just because people take that and run with it any other kind of way. So just say overweight, kid.
That
overweight.
Ain't true, though, man. Because you can flip overweight to your overweight ass.
Charlamagne, we're going to let Envy say overweight kids. That just sounds different. You got too many simple-minded people that's going to go hard on him.
You're right.
Let the man just say overweight. Okay?
You're right.
So listen, in regards to what you were saying, we are depreciated, right? In regards to communities, we know that it's easier for some communities to have $5 and get that Little Caesar pizza and know that we'll have to not worry about tonight and we'll figure it out tomorrow, right?
That's right.
And then we have the other families who are letting their kids in and out the pantry. We buying everything, ding-dongs, wing-wongs, Chips Ahoy, everything, right? And we're really not caring because we don't want to hear them talk or whatever the reason is. Maybe we didn't have healthy eating habits growing up.
Right.
So when it comes to the surgery portion, now there is lap band, there is gastric sleeve, and then there's gastric bypass. Now that has to go with your PCP, having history, being obese, it's just a lot of different factors that go into that, that a child at a young age will be able to have that, right?
Can I ask you something real quick, though? If you can't even afford healthy food, how are you going
to
afford surgery?
Medicare will pay for that, right? Medicare is for older. So Medicaid will pay for that, given your doctor is saying this person needs it. This is medically necessary. Mm. They will be able to get it 100% paid for. If you're a worker and you have insurance, your insurance will pay for it. You pay your deductible out of pocket. If you out here and you got money, you can pay for whatever you want. You can get your kid to get whatever they want at whatever age when you got whatever type of funds. Are we clear?
Yes, but that's the problem.
Thank you, Mama.
Most of us don't. like we're talking like the majority of people out here aren't financially struggling. And that surgery to me sounds like a temporary solution to a permanent problem.
It's the same thing with those pills.
You have to go give these communities the resources they need to not just survive, but to thrive. You're getting surgery for a kid at 6 and then they still can't afford proper food.
No, you're right.
Didn't we just talk about earlier when you get these surgeries, you got to work out and eat right?
Yeah.
How can you do that if you're in an impoverished neighborhood?
Well, we'll take your call some more. 800-585-1051. But I agree with you. I think the medication and those surgeries are temporary fixes because you don't want your child on pills for the rest of their life to stay a little thinner. Let's talk about it when we come back. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning. Everybody, it's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you're just joining us, we were talking about a new study that came out, and they were saying children struggling with obesity should be evaluated and treated early and aggressively, including medications for kids as young as 12 and surgery for those that are 13. They're saying the old practice of watchful waiting or delaying treatment to see if the kids outgrow it is stupid and don't do it. They're saying 14.4 million young people in the U.S. are left untreated, and obesity can cause health problems, high blood pressure, diabetes, depression, insecurity.
I hate how that study is not talking about poverty. I hate how that study is not talking about, food deserts. I hate how that study is not talking about individuals who live in food deserts are at an elevated risk for obesity. I hate that study isn't talking about how inadequate access to food, is going to lead, to obesity, because folks going to eat cheap, high calorie stuff. How fast food restaurants got better deals than the healthy places. You can feed 6 people with $5 at most of these damn fast food places. But, an apple costs $6. One apple.
Yeah, no, you're right. I want to shout out to, I believe it's called Fittition. It's a restaurant that's in the New York area, and they're branching. And I went there the other day, and I bought a fruit bowl, a big size fruit bowl, and it was $5. And I was surprised. I'm like, it's only $5, and it had had a granola, had all the fruit in it. So let me. It's Fittition. Shout out to them. All right, let's go to the phone lines. Hello, who's this?
Hey, this is Shaniqua Burnett from One Around Georgia. How you guys doing this morning?
You said Shaniqua?
Kenitra.
Good morning, Kenitra.
I'm doing well. How are you guys?
Blessed, black, and highly favored.
What's your opinion? What's your thoughts, Mama?
So my thoughts is, especially from a medical perspective, I'm a medical professional. I work in cardiology. I definitely think we should allow these kids to have access to weight loss medication. Mm-hmm. One thing you mentioned was something about liposuction. That's not what they said. They said the kids could have weight loss surgery, such as bypass, gastric bypass, or sleeve. Something like that to help them lose the weight. But we do know that we see down the line that these kids end up with heart disease and other problems. And you'll be surprised, or maybe you won't be surprised, but I used to do football physicals. And you'll be surprised how many of those guys come in, young kids, only 13 years old with high blood pressure already, and want to play football. And so then we talk about things happening like, collapsing on the field.
Right.
And stuff like that. So definitely, I think we should, give these kids a shot at, having a healthier weight and living a healthier life.
Yeah, but
I agree with you, Charlamagne, on the, making access to healthier foods. And, right now the food prices are incredible.
Yeah.
Grocery store prices are crazy. And that is definitely a problem. But also it is that our kids just don't exercise.
Right.
And, do the things that they used to do. We used to play outside.
Right.
Now the kids are in front of a TV all day or playing video games all day.
You're right.
That is true. I think it's a combination of the lack of physical activity. But more importantly, man, the poverty. The food deserts these folks live in, man. Like, when you live in these food deserts, you don't have access to good, high-quality food. You're going to eat cheap, high-calorie stuff.
But even as parents, even if that is the case, we have to get our kids out more. And I know a lot of times it's easy to, to have our, iPhones and iPads and video games and TV babysit our kids. But we have to get back out there with those kids, make them go play basketball, make them go jump rope, and make them dance, make them go to cheer. There's so many free events and free activities that these kids could do that'll keep them exercising. This week, like I said, my wife is away, and my kids have so many damn activities, and I would be mad at my wife, like, goodness gracious, but now I get it. I understand it. They're out and about. They're exercising. They're running around, and they're doing a lot.
Well, I'll tell you this, and I agree with you, and I'm not making excuses.
Mm-hmm.
But man, do you feel safe just letting your kids go out? Do you feel safe just letting your kids go run around? I think about growing up in Monk's Corner, South Carolina. Man, we used to be out all day, no cell phones, on the bikes from dirt road to dirt road, running through cornfields, running through the woods. parents knew where we were at, I guess. They knew we were around. But yeah. Nowadays, I would never feel comfortable.
Yeah, you're right.
Just letting my kids just go roam for a few hours by themselves. Hell no.
Yeah, I guess you're right. Hello, who's this?
This is Leo.
Leo, good morning. What's your thoughts, bro?
I basically think that it all starts with the parents. We need to encourage more healthier eating habits, you know, so that our kids follow through. My family has a history of we're very overweight, and I've done a lot of things to get a healthy weight, and I'm trying to encourage my daughter now, she's about 4, to start eating, you know, pretty good and things like that.
Man, all of y'all must be doing great in life, because even if it starts with the parents, which is true, the parents poor too. poverty is just as generational as poor eating habits, because if the parents couldn't afford to eat well, you think they can afford to feed their kids well? Come on, man. Like, I don't know, man. I just feel like poverty is the root of the issue, man. Because, you know, a lot of these people that we're talking about, they live in food deserts. And everybody knows that if you live in a food desert, you're at an elevated risk for obesity because you don't have, you know, adequate access to good food. So you eating all the cheap, high-calorie nonsense.
All right. Well, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
The Breakfast Club.
Call me. Add your opinion to the Breakfast Club top. Come on. 800-585-1051.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now, if you're talking about what we're not doing anymore in 2023.
What are we leaving in 2023? I mean, 2022. I'm going to tell you something else, man. I told you going into 2023, I really want to see people grow up. And it's crazy to be 44 years old and be telling other 44-year-olds that they need to grow up. But I do really want to see men grow up. I want us to be able to, you know, have conversations with each other without conflict. That's why I'm always stressing brothers to go to therapy to deal with that hurt, that pain that they have inside them. But I'm going to tell you something else, man. I've been hearing a lot of 40-somethings have conversations about like money and wealth and things of that nature, and they're talking about it from the perspective of what they're wearing. That sounds so crazy.
Like jewelry.
They're like, oh, such and such ain't getting no money because, you know, they not wearing designer, or they just started wearing designer. That is like the silliest, most foolish thing I've ever heard a 40-something-year-old human being say.
It doesn't have to be 40. It could be 30 or 20. Or even basing their wealth off of jewelry or cars they have in cash that they could hold up to their
ear. Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think we need to leave that as well.
Salute to my good brother, John Hope Bryan, man. John Hope Bryan says if the only assets you have is on your ass, you're doing something wrong. Yeah,
absolutely.
So please, can we leave that in 2022 for all ages? Especially, I cannot believe it's 40 talking like that.
Nah.
That's crazy to me.
Hello, who's this?
My name is Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Good morning, Lisa.
Good morning, Charlene. I'm calling because I'm leaving behind non-loyal ass people and cheating guys. Some guys do not know how to be committed.
Oh, boy.
Well, stop dating everybody except for black men, because black men don't cheat.
No, black men are the cheaters.
Could you stop? Why are you telling lies like this? We should leave lying in 2022. Why would you tell such a tale?
Well, I'm sorry you got cheated on, mama. Yeah, and you're right. We should leave cheating as women and men in 2022.
Ain't no black men cheating.
Nope.
Young black boys are cheating.
Well,
men are not cheating.
What do you consider TJ Holmes?
Huh?
Okay,
beige.
All
right.
Okay. Well, what is the age bracket for them not to cheat?
What do you mean? I think that we shouldn't. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, you just said.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
And how old was the last white man that cheated on you?
The white man. Black man.
How old was he?
24.
He's still a little boy. That's what I'm telling you. He's still a young man.
How old do it take them to be a grown man?
Let me see. I got there around 36, 37.
Oh, that's how long it took you to be a grown man?
I got there around 36. But I'm not saying you should wait that long. Huh?
Aren't you married? Yes. I've been with my
wife.
It took him some time,
for
Mama.
24 years. We've been married since 2014. routine.
Took up some time, mama.
But I'm going to tell you the difference, man. All jokes aside, seriously, it's all about being intentional about doing the work on themselves. If you're intentional about growth, if you're intentional about being a good man, you will go do the work on yourself so, you know, you don't have women calling up to the radio station sad like how she sounds this morning.
She sounds very sad. Breakfast Club, good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now it's time to get up out of here. You got a positive note, bro?
Positive note. Since today is MLK Day, man, it's a quote from Martin Luther King Jr. Martin Luther King Jr. once said, people fail to get along because they fear each other. They fear each other because they don't know each other. They don't know each other because they have not communicated with each other. Express some communication with somebody today.
Breakfast Club, bitches!
Y'all finished or y'all done?
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
We went from normal life, healthy child, to acute lymphoblastic leukemia, or B-cell ALL. The St. Jude team came up to get CJ via ambulance. Shortly after that, I noticed a rainbow. It meant that there was hope. We were driving into hope. To have hope is to have your child healthy, and we have that because of St. Jude.
You can help kids fight childhood cancer. Please become a St. Jude Partner in Hope today by visiting musicgives.org.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light. Catch all 7 rounds, 3 days, live from Detroit, April 25th to 27th with NFL Network Draft coverage presented by Verizon and on ABC, ESPN, ESPN Deportes, and streaming on NFL Plus. It all starts Thursday, April 25th at 8 p.m. Eastern. Visit NFL.com/draft for more information. Lowe's knows home improvement. Lowe's, official sponsor for the 2024 NFL Draft.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Got my Prevnar 20 shot. It's a pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine. For us, wise folks, it helps protect.
I'm 19, strong.
And asthmatic, and at higher risk? Get vaccinated.
But
nothing when grandma speaks.
Grandson listens.
19 or older with chronic conditions like asthma, diabetes, or chronic heart disease, or 65 plus, you may be at higher risk for pneumococcal pneumonia. Prevnar 20 can help protect you with just one dose.
Prevnar 20 is approved for adults to help prevent infections from 20 strains of the bacteria that cause pneumococcal pneumonia. Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you've had a severe allergic reaction to the vaccine or its ingredients. Adults with weakened immune systems may have a lower response to the vaccine. Side effects include pain and swelling at the injection site, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138 or visit Prevnar 20.com.
Ask your doctor or pharmacist about getting vaccinated with Prevnar 20, even if you've already received another pneumococcal pneumonia vaccine.